everyone, and welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. My name is Bobby Dooley, and I am the guest host tonight, and I'm so excited. We were called not too long ago, Steve, right?
Yeah, I got the call about it, Phil.
About a half an hour ago, and they said, can you get in here? Because Phil was called away to a meeting in Los Angeles, right?
Yeah, I got to go out and I think downtown or maybe Hollywood, I think. Probably Hollywood.
It's probably Hollywood, yeah. So much of the business that I say we, I'm not completely entrenched in the entertainment game, okay, the way a lot of people are, but I do dabble, and my husband Steve as well. So when we heard that Phil had been called away, we thought, well, I wonder, you know, is he...
Yeah, probably going to go down to Hollywood and everything.
Yeah, is he going to go to Hollywood? And that's exactly what we think. Is we could speculate, you know, Steve.
Well,
we could speculate, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to speculate too much on what Phil's doing, but he was called away. So we're so excited to be with you this evening. We've got, we feel, a wonderfully exciting and thrilling program to bring your way. For those of you who, we are live, so I can't roll that back, can I?
What happened, buddy?
Let me talk to Rick Wiffner's the engineer. Did you hear that, Rick? There was a bit of a gas. It sounded like a fart.
Oh, it's probably a leather chair.
Is it the leather chair? Okay. I'm very sorry. I have to point that out because what happens is this. There's a lot of small minds. I know a lot of you understand where I'm coming from when I'm saying there's a lot of small minds. There are so many small minds. And when the fart noise was just now done, not by me, but by the leather, Steve, okay?
Yeah, my wife, she didn't fart.
Well, don't say it like that.
It didn't.
What happened was my elbow was on the leather of the chair, and it dragged, and it went fart, or it made that dirty sound. And it's a sound that we always tell our young men. We have three boys, by the way, for those of you who are not familiar with the Bobby Dooley Show and my husband, Steve. We have three sons, Dylan, Seth, and Justin. Dylan is graduating this year from Western Estates High School. Seth is our middle schooler, and Justin is still in elementary school, although he will be a middle schooler next year as well. So they're all getting bigger, aren't they?
Yeah, the kids get big and everything.
And it is kind of funny how they just get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And one of the things that I had to deal with as a mother, and I know that a lot of you do too, if you're a mother, you do too. They're cute when they're little. And I know my mother used to say to me, she said, oh, Bobby, you were so cute as a little girl. And then you turned into a thing from, you know, I forget what she said. It was very funny. But she said, one of the things you have to worry about is your children are so cute. And then when they get older, they become a thing from a pit or so. I you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's all a kid comes out of the dungeon area.
Yeah, my mother said that. Did she say that to you?
Yeah, talk to your mom.
My mother said to Steve, she said, Bobby was so cute. And then she became like this thing, this loping, slouching thing from a dungeon. When she got to meet him back, when do you think 0 hour ends? Okay. Don't answer it, Steve. I want to see if people know. 0 hour for a little girl is 12. You may think it's 11. I say 0 hour is 12. And I, as much as I, you know, admire our young women, I thank whatever I can conceive God to be. I do believe in God. I want you to know that I'm not an atheist, but when I say I thank God, I don't really know what I'm thinking about. You know, it's kind of weird.
Is the guy with a beard?
No, it's not a guy with a beard. No, it's not a guy with a beard. You know, we've had enough discussions with a lot of our more educated friends, and they've assured me, obviously, God is not someone, you know, with a big beard or something like that. Although it would be easier if God was, but he's not. So when I thank God that I never had a daughter, I'm thinking about just a big, powerful, big cloud. You know what I mean, Steve? And
yeah, I think God, you say it's a big puff. It's just a big poof, you know?
It's like a big puff or a poof or a big boom. And that to me is God. That to me is God. And that to me is, I hold that close. And that's my, and every Easter at Western Estates, we have our Easter celebration. We celebrate the God that all of us believe in. And so I want you to know, if you move to Western Estates and buy one of our luxurious 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9-bedroom homes, you will be assured of the fact that it is a religious community. We are very devout and pious and, you know, everything like that. And on Sundays, or I mean on Easter Sunday, and on Sundays too, we have our celebratory celebration of the God. And we have a big bonfire, and toward the end of the night, as the moon is rising, we dance around the bonfire. Oh, I'm getting emotional, you know?
Yeah, it's very beautiful.
It's very beautiful. We dance about the bonfire, and yes, we howl, and some people have complained. We had the sheriff there one night who said, we heard howling and screeching and the wailing of women, and one of your neighbors said they saw clothes being torn off. And I said, how dare you? You know, I said that, Steve. I said, how dare you?
Yeah, talking to L.A. Sheriff, too.
We were talking to one of the L.A. County Sheriff. They are here to support, to defend. Have you ever seen what's on the side of the car there?
Well, it says what?
It says to support and defend and protect and everything. It says on the car, right?
No, it says, well, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it says to defend and support. Los Angeles County Sheriff Police Department to defend and support and pretend, well.
Yeah.
But, and I said to the sheriff deputy there, I said, you're a deputy sheriff. You know, and Steve, I was so proud of Steve that night. He said, you're a deputy sheriff. You send me the marshal. I'll be over here having another beer on him, can you? And the deputy sheriff slapped the handcuffs on Steve. How dare he?
Yeah, he arrested me and I went down and everything.
So I thank God the people from COPS were there and they were filming an episode and Steve was crying, as well he should have been. I would have been. Any man or woman would have been. And Steve was weeping. And I said, how much is it going to take to keep that off of your curious little show? And they said, well, just don't sign the release. And I said, okay, but, you know, I'm not going to sign the release. Get away from me. And they're all standing there going, isn't she a freak? And I said, I'm not signing your release. And they said, we don't care. We'll just pixelate your husband's face. And I said, you'll do what to his face? And I said, oh, my God.
Yeah, I remember Eric saying I was going to do a thing on my face.
And I said, you're going to do what on my husband's face? And there was a young production assistant there. And she goes, we're going to pixelate on it. And I said, you filthy slut. And I slapped her. And at the moment that my hand hit the flesh of her face, I was weeping for her and for her offspring and what she could have been. You know, that's just how I am. I don't know.
And Bobby, I just, you know, I'm very beautiful.
Thank you. Well, I am Bobby Dooley. We'll take a very quick break here and we'll be back. Margaret Gray, I know, is checking in. She wants to know what's up. At least that's what I have in the note that I got here on the screen. So we're gonna. Here's one. I love this. Isn't this a surf? I love do. Wow. Wow. This is from Hawaii 5-0, isn't it? This is the Hawaii 5-0 theme, it is. Or, oh, no. This is Mission. And the mission is impossible that we're going on. Remember when Bill Murray did that? So I'm Bobby Dooley. This is the Phil Hendry Show, but I'm Bobby Dooley. And this is the Phil Hendry Show, but I'm Bobby Dooley. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. This is Bobby Dooley. And for those of you, we've had a few people calling, well, who are you? And a little bit rude, but I don't mind. Most people know who I am. And when you call up, and you have, what were they saying, Steve?
Oh, lady, she goes, who's this? I never heard of her. I go, well, I've never heard of you either. And I hung right up on her.
Yeah, we're going to slam the phone down on you if you're going to get rude like that. If you've not heard of me, well, okay. Except the fact that you're in a decided minority. I am the president of the Western Estates Homeowners Association. I live in Western Estates, California. We have a beautiful cul-de-sac community. And we have some 40 or 130 homes, Steve.
About 50 or 40.
Either 50 or 40 homes, and they are all in cul-de-sacs. Okay. And we have our homeowners association, and we have swimming pools, and we also have our wintertacular, and coming up is our springtacular. We have four of these every year, the springtacular, the summertacular, the falltacular, the autumntacular, and the winter.
No, that's too many.
That's too many. Okay. So there's, which one is too many?
Is it spring?
Yeah, there's the summer, the fall, the autumn, the winter, and the spring. Okay, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We're going to have on the phone here George Chesbro, who is a law enforcement consultant and is familiar with the events of last Easter here at Western Estates when the Los Angeles County Sheriff was called out here. And we had to deal with the L.A. County Sheriff. They arrested my husband. Mr. Chesbro, how are you?
I'm very well. Thank you for allowing me on the program.
You're familiar with the events?
I'm familiar from the standpoint of Los Angeles County Sheriff, yes.
All right. So we knew that we were having an Easter Sunday celebration. It was very religious and very family-oriented. The next thing we knew, the Los Angeles County Sheriff was at our security gate, at the front gate, and also at our south gate, which is the Wangro Boulevard gate. At that time, I was alerted to the Los Angeles County Sheriff being at our gates by Hector Cambrero, who is the head of security. Now, what do you know?
What I know is from the Los Angeles County record, Los Angeles County Sheriff records, and the report that was filed by the deputy sheriff that evening, when they rolled to the address where the complaint was, which was a 16...
Please don't give my address on the air, please.
I apologize. Well, it was in a one of these streets. The sheriff encountered the homeowner, which I believe was you.
Myself and my husband, yes.
That was Mr. Steve Dooley?
Yeah, that was me, and I was the guy.
Mr. Dooley, according to the report, you were intoxicated and were becoming a bit unruly and interfering with the officer as he was trying to ascertain the facts of the scene, and you were placed in the radio car. You placed the police cruiser in handcuffs just so we could calm things down, and that's when you began to kick the window and kick the cage.
What, Steve, explain to him why you were doing that.
That's what I see everybody do on TV.
You might have seen people do that on TV, but I can assure you that police officers don't like the cage or the windows in their on their police cruisers. That's their home. That's where they live for 8-9 hours a day. So you're kicking the windows, and it's going to make them very angry.
Well, I told the guy and he meant everything.
And then what happened was, did you know that Cops was there that night?
I am familiar that we did have a production crew from a television show, Cops, that apparently was filming some segments for the TV show, and apparently the that particular unit had at least one of the cameramen with them.
Well, what happened was they were video filming, how do you say it?
Yeah, they were videoing.
Is it videoing? They were videoing my husband as he told this deputy sheriff to get off of our property and to just go, right, Steve?
Yeah, I told him we were having an Easter Sunday celebration and we were in the middle of the dance. And we were whirling about the bonfire, and that's he said, well, you just go cool it. And he said, I breathed booze on him.
The deputy, according to the report, the deputy sheriff said he could smell alcohol in your breath. Is that correct?
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he said, he's waving his hand, going, ah, God, man, I got beer all, I got, I'm getting beer over here. And he's talking to his partner, okay?
Yeah.
And partner come over, he says, yeah, I'm getting beer, too. Now they put me on, they put me in there.
Will they put him inside of the police car? Do they do that?
Oh, well, they will do that with some people who are interfering with the officers, yes. Many times they'll then release the individual after they've been able to ascertain the situation and lock down the scene and get all the facts and collect everything and pad things nicely and make sure that everything is locked down and in handcuffs. They want to handcuff everything and everybody. And that's generally what we do. So the police officers are probably perfectly content to let your husband go until he started using some of the offensive language that he was using.
Well, I didn't hear any offensive language.
Well, at the police station.
Well, there was was offensive language at the substation, yeah. But before that, apparently, your husband called the officers all kinds of names. And
well, what names did he call them?
Well, I mean, he used the fag and queer, and you guys look like, you know, queers. And
well, I mean, I didn't say that because they said the same thing about me.
Well, none of the officers said anything to you of that nature, I can assure you. I believe one of your neighbors did. One of your neighbors said Mr. Dooley always is mincing around out in the front yard, tailing around behind his wife like he's some kind of thrown, you know. I don't want to use the word, but...
Well, my husband is very close to me, and yes, he does follow me around. That doesn't mean that he is one of my consorts.
Well, people were saying it's like some, you know, if he put on a bathrobe, you'd have sworn the guy was a cross-dresser. They didn't know, so I said...
Well, see, that's what I mean about it.
That's why my husband started to cry.
I'm sorry your husband was crying, and I'm sorry the cops videoed that, but... there's nothing we can do about that.
All right, so what did the officers observe when they were here?
What the officers observed, Ms. Dooley, was a bonfire that was lit in a common area that violated the county ordinance for outdoor fires, and it was deemed by the officers to be a hazard. It was a bonfire that yourself and two other women, identified Janice Greeley, Mary Cloister Irving, these are neighbors of yours?
Yes, these are both women that are with the Circle of Taste.
All right. I'm not familiar with the Circle of Taste. They said that the three of you were dancing around this bonfire, swinging what we came to understand were didgeridoos. These are some kind of a musical instrument.
Yes, that's correct. I was blowing the didgeridoo. What about it?
Well, I don't know what that means, but that was the officer at that point decided to arrest you. He didn't arrest you when he was told by the other officer that you can't arrest someone for blowing a didgeridoo. I didn't know this. He didn't know it. The other officer did, thank God. At that point,
Well, Tom, you tell my wife about religion.
See, this was the thing that I want to just mention to you, officer. We were celebrating Easter.
Oh.
And this was a religious celebration.
Well, it might have been a religious celebration, but you were swinging freely around this bonfire, dancing and howling, and one of the women had stripped.
It was a spiritual exercise. I don't know what else to tell you. The fact that my husband was arrested that night, we did eventually post bond. He had to go to court for this drunken public charge and resisting arrest. That goes on his record, and we need to have that expunged.
You mean expunged is what you mean, right?
No, I mean, what do you mean expunged? I mean, we want it sponged off. Sponge it.
Yeah, you can't just put it in the bucket and sponge it?
No, it's not anything you put a sponge in a bucket and sponge. No, it's not that kind of sponge. It's expunged. You want to have that wiped out. You're going to have to go to the district attorney and take this up with your counsel and be in communication with the legal arm of the county, because I don't know about that.
All right, well, thank you very much. There is, I don't know what his name is, George McCready or...
It was George Weaver or something.
But he is a consultant, law enforcement consultant, and that was the night that Steve was arrested. I think if you cannot exercise your religion freely in America, what are we going to do? Where can we go? We were dancing around a bonfire. What is so? So what?
Yeah, I mean, you dance around, and Janice really took her top off.
Inadvertently, she took her top off. And once her top was off, I said to her, oh, God. This is like one of those National Geographics, you know?
Yeah, where the women are nude.
Yes, and I said, and I felt the freedom that it was like a National Geographic dance, but at no time did I ever think it wasn't Christian. And we were dancing and going, woo! The police officer came up on this scene and thought that we were involved in some... What's the Madonna religion? What's that called?
That's called cobble ball.
The cobble ball, yeah. And he thought we were involved in some cobble ball or a witch's coven or something. And I said, what? What are you talking about? I mean, I wondered if he was for real or not. So all's well that ends well, I guess, because what happened was we did bail Steve out. We are going to try and have the charge expunged.
He said expunge.
I don't care what he said, Steve. I don't care what he said. It's sponge. And we're going to sponge it the best way we know how. I'm Bobby Dooley. We're going to have some more guests here on the show, on the Phil Henry Show, coming up. We're hoping to bring on the program Mr. Harvey Wireman, who's our attorney, Western States Homeowners Association attorney, and others who will talk with us about our upcoming Springtacular. I mean, not our upcoming, yes, our upcoming Springtacular.
No, it's two of them.
Oh, I mean, yeah, okay. I don't know how many there are. There's a Wintertacular, there's...
Yeah, well, there's, we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. And we'll talk about the upcoming Springtacular. Welcome back, everyone. I'm Bobby Dooley, and this is the Phil Henry Show. I am sitting in for Phil.
Yep, be careful on that, too.
Well, Steve, I'm sitting in for Phil. I don't know what...
They told you to be careful on it.
I was told I don't have to be careful of anything, dear. I didn't say anything like that, and we can't cut. We're live now. Oh, my God.
Well...
My husband is very mindful that I don't say sitting on Phil Henry. Okay, there, I said it.
Well, you're not supposed to say it.
Well, I just did, Steve, because you're trying to embarrass me.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to told you.
No one told me to be careful of saying that. You're the only one that said that. Let me pot... Could you... What do you call it? Pot the music up, Rick Wiffner? Pot the music up so I can talk to my husband, please. Thank you. Are we on? Okay, we're off the air. Come here.
Bobby.
Come over here.
Ow!
Don't you ever say that.
You said you were sitting on him.
I did not say I was sitting on Phil Henry. Okay. Open my mic up again, please. Okay. And welcome, everyone. I'm Bobby Dooley. Pardon me for just that moment that we took. My husband and I were having a discussion. There are certain things that are what are called double entendre days, and those are things that are taken in a double entendre way. One of them is when I say, I'm sitting in for Phil Henry. Okay, that's what I said. It would take a mind that marinates in sewage for no less than 7 to 14 days, I would say.
Yeah, refrigerated or...
Don't be a smartass, Steve. Don't be a smartass.
Well, you said you marinated.
Could you pop the music up one more time, please? Thank you. Wait, the music ran out. Please stand by. If you talk to me like that again, I'll kick you right in the genitals.
Oh, wow. That's not fair.
It may not be fair, but it's how it is. Thank you, and we're back. Sorry, we had a technical difficulty. So we are going to bring on the program Harvey Wireman.
Don't you want to talk about everything about it?
No, I don't want to talk about it. I've talked to you already about it. So we're going to bring on Harvey Wireman. Harvey is the attorney, our association attorney at Western Estates. And we want to get to the bottom of this, Harvey. I know that I had been on the phone with you immediately after the L.A. sheriff left. And as you know, I was in quite a state of panic, having just seen the sheriff arrive at Western Estates and try to tell us how to live our lives. That was the part I couldn't take, you know what I'm saying? To tell me how to live my life and the lives of all the other lives that are being lived. And to tell me how to live. I don't think any of us in America want to be told how to live our lives. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
No, yeah, I understand.
And so that's when I got on the phone with you, and I said, Harvey, what did I say?
Well, you said, Harvey, they're trying to tell me how to live my life. And I said, who?
I said they're trying to tell me how to live my life. And then I told you it was the L.A. Sheriff Department of the L.A. Police or something.
No, I told you it would be the L.A. Sheriff. Because of where you live, it was the L.A. sheriff, you know.
Can we turn Mr. Wireman up, please?
Okay.
Turn Mr. Wireman up, please. Thank you. Say that again.
Yeah, I said that it was the L.A. County Sheriff where you live, that you didn't deal with the L.A. Sheriff Police. There's no such thing.
Yeah, L.A. Sheriff Police.
Would you excuse me, Harvey?
Certainly.
Shut your mouth. So there's no such thing as the L.A. Sheriff Police?
No, there's no such thing. It's either the sheriff or it's the police, but you can't have... So they're not together.
Well, who were the ones that that came to our house?
The L.A. Sheriff came to your house and arrested your husband for interfering with a police officer in the course of an investigation, from what I understood when I called the substation. Rod. Excuse me for just a minute. Yeah, bullseye. I called the L.A. County Sheriff, and I said, have you got a dually there? And they said, who wants to know? And I said, it's Wireman, and they know me there. So they said, yes, Mr. Wireman, sorry, we didn't recognize you. And I said, geez, he'd think by now you guys would. And one of the old watch commanders got on the line, Bill Hoosing. He said, hey, Harvey, it's Bill. I say, hey, how you doing? He says, I know you, but all these young punks we got now, they don't know. And I said, you got dually? And they said, yeah.
You're talking about my husband.
I know, Steve. I said, do you got Steve Dooley?
That's okay. I don't, you know.
Yeah, I said, do you have Steve Dooley back there? And they said, yeah, we're cooling him. I said, you got him on ice, huh? They said, yep, fresh as the day he was caught. I said, well, I'll take two. And that's code for I'm coming down to bail him out. I bailed your husband out, Steve, at approximately 3 a.m. He was relatively sober, and at that point I drove him back up to Western Estates and kicked him out of the car right in front of the guard gate there.
Yeah, that's right in front where Amalio was.
Yeah, that was in where Amalio works?
Yeah, I don't know which one it is, but it was the guard gate, and I opened the door up, and I just took my right foot and kicked him, sort of kick-shoved him out onto the pavement, and he laid there. As I took off, I looked in the rearview mirror, and I saw a black form in the road slowly rise up, and it was your husband. I was thinking, Jesus, what is that? Oh, that's right, that's the guy I just kicked out of the car. And then what, Steve?
Yeah, then I made my way of the thing.
So you made your way back to our house?
Yeah, I made my way back.
All right, so what do you think about the fact that our religious rights are being interfered with at Western Estates?
Well, I don't know, Bobby. You know, you're having an Easter Sunday celebration that seemed to go into a pagan direction. Now,
what do you mean by pagan? Because the people are listening and they want to know what you mean by that. Okay?
Well, yeah, I mean, what I mean by pagan, I don't know that it was pagan. You believe in God, don't you?
We most certainly do believe in God. And we believe in Jesus. And we are very Christian. And I was absolutely stunned. I was humiliated. We had a meeting the following day, that Monday, of the Circle of Taste. I had three of my gals, said to me, are you pagan? And I went, what? I said, are you for real? And they're all, well, we don't know. We heard you went pagoon or pagoon or something. I said, you mean pagan? And they said, yes. I said, no, of course we're not. And they said, well, then can we have your turquoise jewelry? And they went, ha, ha, ha. And I went, ha, ha, ha. And it was all, you know, we shook hands and it was all forgotten.
Well, it wasn't forgotten by the L.A. Sheriff because the report said that you were engaged in some kind of a pagan festival where the women were whipping their tops off and shaking their breasts in the face of the fire, and the men were the men seemed to be frenzied. That's what the men were frenzied, and the women were, what do you want to call it? One of the guys there, one of the arresting officers that arrested your husband, had done time with the Marines in the South Pacific, and he seemed to recognize what he thought was a fertility rite.
A what?
A fertility rite.
I can assure you, no such thing was... Are you talking about the fact that we were laying in the dirt with our husbands? Is that it?
I don't know. I'm just saying the officer said he saw what he said what he done did when he was in the Marine Corps. He said he thought he saw a fertility rite of some kind that he'd witnessed among some of the savages of the South Pacific. And
well, we were laying in the dirt making out with our husbands.
Well, that could have been what he's... I don't know why the hell you'd...
Well, you know, Harvey, that's really not for you to judge.
No, I understand that. I mean, you do pay your bills, so I got to keep my mouth shut, but...
Yeah, that's exactly correct. We do pay our bill on time, and what we pay you for is to ensure the rights of all the homeowners here at Western Estates. And that's the beauty, ladies and gentlemen, of living at Western Estates. You are protected in the environ, you know.
Yeah, tell people what environ is.
Well, the environ is the walls. What keeps the whole thing in?
Well, you don't have to keep it in, but I do. You receive your checks regularly, so I got to keep my mouth shut and just eat whatever bucket of excrement you feed me.
But you're almost... Are you retired?
Yeah, I am retired, as a matter of fact, so I don't even need it. You know, I don't know why. I don't know what keeps me coming back for more, Bobby, but...
You just love us, Harvey, don't you?
Yeah, I guess that's it. I just love you. You're something else, that's for sure.
So, what are the chances that we get this sponged off?
Okay, you're talking about Steve's charge?
Yeah.
Well, I know some of the people in the DA's office. I got to go down. I got to talk to them, and I've got to talk nice and talk turkey. I got to talk to some of the guys in the, in the DA's office there. Now, I got a couple of old friends that are since retired, but they've got some pull, and we'll see what we can do. I mean, one of the things you got to do is say, "Hey, what were you doing?" You know. Now, he was drunk. He was combative with the officer. He resisted them putting the handcuffs on him. He resisted them putting him into the radio car. And then he started kicking the windows and kicking the cage. Now, that's all. Put that all together, and what have you got? The arresting officer is not going to look very kindly on him. To his advantage is that he was trying to calm the situation as he was going back for more beers. So while he was trying to calm things down, he was making a run back to the kegger and coming back with ever larger and foamier cups of beer. The officer noted that the head, well, I better not say head, but...
Yeah, we've got to really clean it up, yeah.
But, I mean, the officer noted that that there was a big, you know, he got a big one, so...
A large beer.
Yeah, I gotta say, it's a large beer. I have a big one. I mean, you know, I mean, maybe I do, maybe I don't, you know.
Look, at Dooley, I can assure you I'm not talking about your... So, you know, things could go both ways. You know, things can swing one way, they can swing the other, you know. And like so many things, especially when you're not wearing a jockstrap, if you're just making a joke. What?
I don't get that.
You don't get what?
Steve, do you get that?
What did you say, Harvey?
I said things can swing one way or the other, especially if you're not wearing a jockstrap. And I said I'm making a joke. You don't understand?
No, what does it mean?
So, I better not say.
Well, what does it mean?
I'm not going to say, Miss Dooley.
Do you like getting your checks on time?
I like getting my checks, but I'm not going to say, okay? I know Phil Henry very well, and he would not appreciate it if I allowed you to make me say the thing what you want me to say. Look, now I'm starting to sound like an idiot. I will simply, I'll tell you this, I like getting the checks on time. Do you want to see this get sponged as you put it off of Steve's record?
Well, yes, I do.
All right, then don't push me on this whole jockstrap joke. As wise, speaking as your attorney. I'm just speaking as your attorney. Don't push me on the jockstrap joke.
All right, well, you know what's best.
Yeah, there you go. You hit the nail on the head there. I'm Harvey Worm, and if there's one thing I do know, it's the...
Thank you very much, Harvey. We have to take a break, and we're going to be back. We've got so many other things to talk about. Larry Grover is going to join us. Larry is a proponent of... He's a proponent of prayer in school. He's a proponent of the open and honest celebration of our religious beliefs. He believes, as we all do, that slowly but surely, religion is being forced out of our lives by an ever-increasingly totalitarian and secular government, a government that doesn't seem to care any longer about the beliefs and the God, just all the God stuff. Just all the God stuff.
Yeah.
I'm Bobby Dooley, filling in here for Phil Henry on The Phil Henry Show. I've got to find a song to break with, and all of this is hip-hop. And there's too many dirty words in that. What should I do?
Try this one.
Okay, here's one. Okay, we'll be right back here. I'm Bobby Dooley, and this is The Phil Henry Show. Whee! Oh, I like this one.
It's a darn good life, and it's kind of funny how the Lord made the bee, and the bee made the honey.
You wrecked that.
I didn't do it.
And welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I'm Bobby Dooley. I'm filling in for Phil. I'm the president of the Western States Homeowners Association. Well, we thank Harvey Wireman, who is the attorney for Western Estates, for being with us. Another regular guest on the Phil Hendry Show is quite often Mr. Larry Grover. Larry is with the Conservatives of Kern County, and he joins us to talk about freedom of the religion. And Larry, thank you so very much for being with us. This is a very, very important topic, I feel, don't you?
Absolutely. I think it's important, and I'm glad that you invited me on. And I would like to say...
All right, let me just, if let's not go on too much, because I want to get my questions in.
I apologize.
You sound an awful lot like my husband, Steve.
Well, I take that as a compliment.
Yeah, you kind of do.
You really do.
I take that as a compliment.
You really, really do.
And I take that as a compliment.
And you do.
And I take that as a compliment.
Okay, you take it as a compliment, but I want you to know that you do.
All right, and...
No, you don't have to keep saying that.
Yeah, don't say it. It's my wife.
I know she's your wife, and I would never do anything to mess that up. I mean, I'm just saying I take it as a compliment. God.
All right, well, let's stay friends here, because I know you believe very stringently and firmly and with great thickness and... Not thickness, I'm sorry. You believe very firmly in freedom of religion.
Absolutely.
As a conservative, do you think it's only something that conservatives believe?
Well, I think we've seen evidence, Bobby, in this country over the last several years that, yes, the only people that really have any respect for religion are conservatives. Liberals, for the most part, tend to be atheistic and non-God-believing-like. And those of us that are conservatives tend to be believers in God. And so the only way that God will survive is if the conservative point of view, I feel, and I could be wrong, I don't think I'm God, I know that, thank goodness.
Well, we can all be thankful for that, but I speak for myself, too, that I'm thankful that I'm not God. Well, I would like to be God, wouldn't we all, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you put it that way, sure, you know.
But I'm thankful that I'm not, and I'm thankful that you're not.
Yeah, thank you, and I'm thankful, and I don't mean anything by this, I'm thankful... Thankful that you're not.
Well, that's sort of insulting, but okay.
Yeah, because my wife being God.
Steve, I'll handle it. So, what happened, Larry, at our place, as I'm sure you heard.
Well, you had a problem with the police, right?
We did. We had the L.A. County, the L.A. County Sheriff come out to our gated community. And they shut down our Easter Sunday celebration.
That is absolutely unbelievable that the police would go out there and shut down something like that. Can you believe that in this day and age in America where there is freedom of religion? But this is what you're saying, Bobby, the secularism that controls this country and continues to tell us what to do, how to do it, when to do it, and why to do it. They're bugging me, and they're bugging me bad.
Well, what do you think we can do about it?
Well, I think that we need to band together as communities and say, just because some old dried-up hag or some neighbor that has lost their sense of the spiritual and the God and the gods and the God and the God, and the belief in God and Godism, or not Godism but Christianity, doesn't mean that we all have to kowtow and act like we, you know, like we're scared of our own. Bowel movements, or however you want to put it. And
well, I've never been scared of that, but I know what you mean.
Yeah. So I think we have to band together.
Well, what happened was we were celebrating. We had the didgeridoo. We had the bonfire.
I understand you. The police officer said it seemed pagan-like. See, that's a different thing. If you're going to go down the pagan road, then I believe we've got to shut those down and shut them down fast. So... if you were acting pagan-like, then that would be a problem.
Okay, so what you're saying is it wasn't Christian enough, which a lot of people are going to say this. They're going to say, oh, yeah, sure. Just because you're a Christian, that means you get to have a bonfire, but if you're not, then you don't get to.
Well, yeah, they're always going to cry. The atheist will always cry. One of the things about your atheist that you've got to recognize, Bobby, is they'll snivel and whine about the fact that they don't get to have their bonfire, but all we're trying to do is protect people from being attracted to the bonfire, and what often results is clothes coming off and sex in the dirt and jugs of wine being passed, and it all doesn't really, I don't like it. I've been to those kinds of celebrations when I was very young, and I usually got very sick and sick in the soul, not sick to my stomach because I never did anything bad, but I think we have to be mindful of that.
What are you trying to say here anyway, Grover?
Yeah, you're sort of babbling here a little bit.
What I'm saying is basically this. If you had a celebration, okay, I won't babble, excuse me. If you had a celebration...
Well, I didn't mean to offend you. I'm sorry, Larry.
Well, that's all right, but I mean, if you had a celebration where there was a didgeridoo and a bonfire and people dancing like a bunch of perverts, then the cop probably thought it was pagan and shut it down. That's what I'm saying may have happened there.
I see. So what we need to do then is to sculpt the celebration more in line with a Western religious model.
I think that that's the case, yeah. So the police officer was doing his job. You might have said that you believed in a one almighty God, but what you were doing with a bonfire and with your faces painted and the fertility rite and lifting a virgin up to the stars and eating watermelon or whatever you were doing, I don't know.
No, it wasn't water. It was tropical fruit.
All right, tropical fruit. And
we had on grass skirts. I don't know, you know.
Well, I mean, these are good things to know.
They are good things to know. We have published, conservatives of Kern County have published, accepted Easter Sunday ritual for the Easter Sunday ritual for the Western Christian. And you're certainly welcome to get a free copy of this just by writing to me, Larry Grover, conservatives of Kern County, Hopkindale, Hopkindale, Mother Rose, Hopkindale, California, post office box, no, Route 7.
Well, hold on. Okay, we'll get it during the break.
Yeah, okay.
So that's Larry Grover, and we'll be right back with more here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Well, welcome back, everyone. It's Bobby Dooley filling in on the Phil Henry Show.
I do it now?
Yeah, go ahead, do it now.
And Bobby Dooley, filling in on Phil Henry, I'm Steve Dooley. Yeah.
You don't go, yeah. God. Anyway.
I'm trying.
My husband was not supposed to go, yeah. That is so...
Well, that sounds great.
No, it didn't sound great. You go, I go, I'm Bobby Dooley. Do it again, do it again. Rick Wiffner.
Yeah.
I said to do it again, please. Am I the host of the show? Do it again. One, two, three. You, however you do that. One, two, three, go. Go. Go.
Go, Wiffner.
And welcome to the Bobby Dooley Show, filling in for the Phil Henry Show. Go.
Yeah, Bobby Dooley. I'm Steve Dooley.
Okay. Thank you, Steve Dooley, and I'm Bobby Dooley.
Yeah.
God, Steve, you ass.
What?
You don't go, yeah.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
We have to do it again, yeah. And we're live. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen, but I know a lot of you can probably relate to this. Are you a perfectionist? I am, too. I am a perfectionist, and I said, don't do that.
You said to go, yeah.
No, I didn't, Steve. I said, don't say yeah. Do you want me to slap you across? All right. 3, 2, 1, blast off. How do you do it professionally? Do you say blast off? 3, 2, 1, go. And welcome to the Bobby Dooley Show. Filling in on the Phil Henry Show. Go.
It's Bobby Dooley filling in on a Phil Henry Show. I'm Steve Dooley.
And... thank you, Steve Dooley. I'm Bobby Dooley, filling in on the Phil Henry Show. Don't say it. Okay, perfect. Welcome to the program. We are excited to have a lot of guests on with us this evening. We had Larry Grover was with us just a few minutes ago talking about freedom of the religion and how that relates to us as homeowners. And we also had Harvey Wireman, who is our association attorney. And he was talking to us about, you know, the different stuff that you can do and all the different stuff that religions are. A lot of you have written cards and letters when we've been doing our Bobby Dooley podcast, and you've said, well, Bobby, when you and Steve are not at the Western States Homeowners Association, do you go other places? Do you do other things? Yes, we do. As you might imagine, we are very good friends with Ted Bell and his wife, Marcy. So we do, from time to time, go to Ted's at Beverly Hills for one of the delicious steaks that he has. And we have certainly become very, very tight friends since the early days when we had run-ins with Steve, when we had run-ins with Ted, and where my husband Steve was defending my honor, which you can well imagine is going to happen when you're dealing with Ted Bell. So we're going to bring Ted Bell on right now. Very excited to have him with us. Here he is.
Ted of Beverly Hills.
Oh, they don't have
steakhouse.
What?
Come
they don't
on
have
now.
Are you there? Is he not there? Well, then why did you tell me to go to him? Yes, you did. Yes, you did. No, yes, you did. No, I get the last word. Yes, you did. Okay.
Here
I'm sorry. We do have him now. That figures. So let's go to him again. Ted Bell, ladies and gentlemen. And here he is. Ted Bell, ladies and gentlemen, here he is.
Ted.
I didn't do it.
Yes, you did.
Steakhouse. Come on down.
Everybody, Ted Bell here, very happy to be sponsoring this segment of Bobby Dooley filling in on the Phil Henry Show, Ted to Beverly Hills. We've got the juiciest, most select meats. We've got the greatest steak. I can't go into it. It's so embarrassing. It's an embarrassment of riches.
And thank you very much, Ted, and welcome to the Bobby Dooley filling in for Phil Henry Show.
Well, I'm very happy to be on the program, and yes, I have known you guys for quite some time. And I'm very grateful that we worked things out.
Well, let's tell the story, Steve. You know a little bit of it.
Yeah, well, the story is kind of interesting.
Okay, if you're going to have Steve tell the story, then I do. I've got some other things I got to get done.
Well,
what's the matter? Can't you even hear what I got to say, Bell? God.
I've heard you tell your version of this so many times. You've practiced it. You've called me up in the middle of the night to run it by me 3, 4, 5 times. You've called up my wife, Marcy. I've heard it live in my living room. I've heard it over the phone. I heard you do it on the show. You got to do it again? I mean, because I got stuff I got to do.
Well, I think it would be only polite if you'd listen to Steve's version of how he got to meet you.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, when I heard you say, I got to put the meat in the mouth, and I went, how dare you? When I called you up, how dare you? My wife heard that.
Yeah. Well,
and that's all there was to the story.
You're right. I know that's all there was to the story, but even that is, it taxes the nerves, it taxes my patience. And I could have gotten a lot done in the time it took for him to even say that small little sentence. So, yeah, what happened was, and if it sounds...
Well, hold on, Ted. I haven't asked you any questions yet.
Okay.
So, anyway, welcome here to Bobby Dooley filling in for Phil Henry. When my husband first heard you say that you want to put meat in someone's mouth, he thought it was directed at me.
Yeah, right, because your husband is a blithering idiot and a great guy. A great guy, Steve. Don't get me wrong. When I call you a blithering moron, a guy that would take his brain out and play with it if he had one, a guy who would be dangerous in a room with a can of lighter fluid, matches, and too much gas from beans, I say that with all due respect. The fact of the matter is, when we had our commercial on the air, we want to put our meat in your mouth, has been, and will always be now. The more crap I get for it, the more convinced I am that it's going to remain our advertising slogan. You called my offices, asked to speak to me directly, and said your wife heard that and you were offended. I explained to you then that it was not intended for your wife, and what did you say?
Yeah, then I said okay.
Yeah, then he realized.
Yeah,
right. Okay, great. So there you go. That's the story, and that's only because you're an idiot, but a good man. And the thing that we had, Bobby, the problem with, as you know, is which brought you and Steve to my restaurant, was when you attacked Margaret Dooley with the baseball bats.
Margaret Dooley?
I'm sorry. Margaret Gray.
Yeah, well, what happened was Margaret Gray was mouthing off to me on Tweetster. I have an account, by the way, on Twiddler, and so does Steve. You won't find us over there too much these days because we're so busy, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of things we got to do.
Well, I don't really go over on Twitter either too much. I have the Ted's of Beverly Hills account, but it is helpful to tell people about the specials and things.
Well, we have an account there, and Steve has his account. He is SD Landscapes, which is Steve Dooley Landscapes, and mine is Bobby Dooley. So we're over there, and we're doing what we're doing. Well, one night, Margaret started to get up in my grill a little bit, and she called me a hog, and I said, well, you're hog-like, too. And then she got a little more personal. She said, well, you're a pig on wheels. And I said, well, you're a hog. And then it really got nasty. She said, well, you're a pig. You're a double pig, is what she said, right?
Yeah, it's good. There's a double pig.
Well, I think we can skip all the insults.
Well, excuse me, because I think this is important. So I said, well, if you want to do some actual, settling of this score instead of just talking to me. And she said, anytime you say. So we met behind the Sit and Sleep on Ventura Boulevard in, I believe it was Woodland Hills.
Right. You guys came out from behind.
Excuse me. I showed up and Margaret was there. And she cold-cocked me without me seeing the punch coming and then headlocked me and gave me two uppercuts, and that's what loosened the teeth. I lost those two teeth in the top of, in my upper jaw, in the upper row of teeth.
Right.
So I went home with a rag shoved in my mouth. It was very embarrassing. Steve drove. Margaret is on Twitter going, ha-hoo-hoo-hoo. So that's when...
Got to take a break.
Do we have to do what?
It looks like you got to take a break.
All right, we'll be back to tell you more. Unbelievable.
Well, you got to take a break.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back to tell you more about just exactly how all this came down the pike, the Margaret Gray and Bobby Dooley encounter behind the Sit and Sleep there on Ventura Boulevard. I'm Bobby Dooley, filling in for Phil Hendry here on The Phil Hendry Show, on The Bobby Dooley Show.
Tonight we are specializing in that shrimp cocktail. Oh, baby, if you haven't had the Ted shrimp cocktail, you haven't been alive for the last, I don't know how many years you think you have been.
Here at Ted's,
in Beverly Hills.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
And I've had that shrimp cocktail. It's fantastic, Ted. And thank you so much for being a guest here with me, Bobby Dooley. Nikki just said, is your voice hurting you? Because it sounds like you really are in a lot of agony. Talking like the way what you talk, you know?
Why did you tell her to mind her own business? I like Nikki, but she sticks her nose in too much.
We're just kidding, Nikki. Don't get depressed. Hello? Nikki?
I'm here.
Oh, she's all PO'd.
Hey, Nikki, don't get PO'd, okay?
Okay? I promise.
Okay, Nikki?
Okay.
She heard you. Yes, Margaret and I had this encounter behind the Sit and Sleep on Ventura Boulevard. We're talking about the time that Steve and I were forced to defend ourselves with baseball bats.
If you don't mind me saying, because I had to intercede in this with Frank Gray, because he was about to call out the posse, and I think you know what I mean. He had some friends in Montreal and elsewhere that settled things in a much different way. And you guys had to go into hiding.
Well, I don't think if I were you, I would be proud of announcing that we had to go into hiding. We were frightened to death, weren't we, Steve?
Yeah, everything you were doing.
Oh, don't start blubbering again, Dooley, okay? If there's one thing I can't take, it's a guy that cries, especially you, because when you blubber, it's like five or six different guys have reverted, and they're all in diapers. It's like I've got six guys, all of them weightlifters, who've gone back to the diaper stage, and they're all weeping like a bunch of babies, and I can't take it, I'm telling you.
Yeah, well, you don't understand what it's like to have to go into hiding.
I don't know what it's like to have to go into hiding? Really? Did I ever tell you about how Marcy and I got married? Oh, then I wouldn't be talking if I were you.
All right, I don't want to hear that story, believe me, because I'd be very willing to repeat it to Marcy.
I believe you repeat it to me. She was there. She lived it. All right? I don't, you know.
The point here is that after I'd gotten sucker punched and she uppercutted me to the tune of two teeth. Yes, we laid in wait for her.
Well, you invited her back for a rematch behind the sit and sleep. And this is, ladies and gentlemen, got to understand, these are two grown women having a fist fight in an alley behind some furniture store near the dumpster. And who did you have? Did you have, like, a bunch of kids that were standing around on bikes?
You know what? The people that were there watching the fight are going to be kids on their bicycles, because who else is cutting through alleys? So what?
Yeah, well, what I heard, they had a bunch, like, 10, 12-year-old kids going, hey! I mean, the whole thing sounded like it was strictly from hunger. And not to mention the fact that when Gray got out of her SUV looking for you guys, and you came out from behind the dumpster with the baseball bats and went to work on her, man, that's not cool at all. That is just uncool. There may be a planet out there where that's cool. This ain't the one.
Well...
What, you've got to think about that?
No, I don't have to think about anything. We are in your debt, Ted, for calling off the cavalry, as you say. We are in your debt for interceding with us with Frank Gray. But don't ever tell me how to solve my problems, even if they do involve a little bit of the fisticuffs, of mixing it up, of doing what I've got to do. I'm a female.
Yeah, I know.
Don't go there.
Hey, watch out, Belle, okay?
Oh, I'm not saying anything. She's a female. I know that.
Well, I'm a female, and so is Margaret. And just because we are women doesn't mean we can't throw the hands when we have to. I'm Bobby Dooley, and with me is Ted Bell. And we're talking to Ted here about Ted's of Beverly Hills, the wonderful restaurant that he has. And we're also, what is that music? And we're also talking to Ted about, what is this?
You want it?
No, I didn't want it.
Well, I'll take the advertising time.
Excuse me, but we're still talking.
Hey, Ted Bell here. Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. Have a pet. Have a baked potato off the baked potato tree. Get a serrated steak knife and then have the all-you-can-eat salad bar. No, it isn't.
That is really not fair. You were not supposed to do that.
You're butting in.
No, I'm not butting in. Ted Bell is our guest, and we are talking with him about a variety of different things. The upshot of the favor that you did for us was that Steve and I had to work at your restaurant, and I don't think people are fully aware that that happened.
All right, yeah, that is true. I had you and Steve go to work in the kitchen and bussing tables. What about it? And your point is what?
My point is there was a great deal of humiliation that went along with your intercession with Frank Gray, and the fact that eventually, we were able to come out of hiding.
You guys were hiding in five or six different safe houses over the course of 8 months, afraid that Frank was going to call that friend of his in Montreal, the guy that puts shoeboxes in cars. I talked to Frank. He never said that he called up Frenchie.
That's not what I heard.
Well, what you heard and what I know are two different things. He never called that guy. You were never under any threat of violence. Frank, all he said was he knows how to handle these things, and you guys go into hiding. I think that sounds like a couple of people that are just flat yellow. Okay? And now, yeah, that's right. You heard what I said. Two people that are just plain flat yellow.
Hello?
Ted's of Beverly Hills.
So he calls us yellow and he runs.
Come on down.
That's right. I'm Ted Bell, and I got to get out of here. Bobby and Steve Dooley, you're both yellow. You haven't got the guts.
You want to put our meat in your mouth.
Boy, can you believe a guy with an advertising slogan like that saying that I'm yellow and I haven't got the guts?
Takes guts, Dooley. Bell. I called him Dooley.
Why don't you get people's last names right, Steve? Because it really deadens the effect of what it is you're trying to do on the show. Well, that is the horrible and ugly truth behind the relations that we've had with Margaret Gray and others. I get along okay with Margaret these days, but not to the tune that one would want to think. We are not social, and it all started that day when she called me a pig. I called her a hog. She called me a hog, and then I called her a pig, and then she called me a hog again.
Yeah.
I am Bobby Dooley, and we're filling in for Phil Hendry. this has been quite an experience over the last many, many years doing podcasts and being guests on Phil's show. Starting on the 17th, my understanding is Steve.
I'm Steve, yeah.
Steve, I understand that Phil on the 17th will be doing his show from a new platform. What's that mean?
Well, he's going to be on another platform.
Right, but what do you mean by that?
Well, it's going to be on another one.
What does that mean, honey? I don't know what it means. He's going to what?
Going to be on digital.
On the web?
Yeah.
All right, so Phil Henry will be on the wonderful world of the web, right?
No, it's not. It's the World Wide Web.
The Wide, Wide, World Wide Web.
Yeah.
So starting on the 17th, Phil Henry will be exclusively a digital platform, if I'm reading this correctly, on the Wide, Wide, Wonderful World, on the Wide, Wide, Wonderful Web world of the web, and that will be on March 17th on the Wonderful Wide World of the Web. And by the way, that's why when you enter in a URL, it will be www. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's right.
Yeah, so it's the Wide, Wonderful Wide World of, well, that's four W's.
Yeah.
Well, help me, Steve. Don't keep saying yeah.
It's the Wide, Wide, Wonderful World of the Web.
I'm going to kick your ass.
Ow!
Go and sit over there.
What a bitch.
You called me a bitch. How's that feel?
Shut up.
Feel good? Call me a name like that. Can you believe this slob? Anyway, the www, however many W's there are, stands for the Wonderful Wide World of Web World. And that is why there's W's. And so on the 17th, Phil Henry will be on that. Not a drug or you know.
He's on the web.
Steve, I'm going to come over there and I'll kick you till you're unconscious.
Yeah, but
I'll come over there and kick you until you're unconscious.
Jesus.
I really believe that a husband can be a great benefit to a wife, can be a great help to a husband, to a wife, and can be someone that we all can look up to at some point and say, you know what, things were really dicey, but I'll tell you something. You really were worth it, marrying you and marrying into the money that your family eventually did have. You were worth it. But you've got to really keep him in line. God, did you hear how I said that? You got to keep him in line. You do.
Shut up.
Welcome back, everyone, to our Bobby Dooley filling in for Phil Henry show. Yeah. See, I just said yeah, and it's okay.
How come you get to do it and I don't get to?
Because it's my show, Steve. Is it the Steve Dooley show? No, it isn't. It's the Bobby. I'm so very sorry, ladies and gentlemen. How many times do I have to?
Yeah, it doesn't matter to me.
Oh, it doesn't? Come here.
Please don't.
Come here.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God, you like it.
Well, it comes a point.
You are a bad boy. You know that? You really are. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. You really are a bad boy, aren't you?
Yeah.
I think Mama's going to have to spank you.
Yeah, I bet you like that.
You dirty, filthy animal.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What a filthy pig. Oh, God, he likes it. I'm sorry, Rick Wiffner, what? I'm talking to my husband and the audience can just wait. I don't care, the audience can wait. So, you're going to be all sexy in those jeans, huh?
Yeah, what are you going to do about it?
What am I going to do about it? Come here.
What? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it feels good. Yeah, it feels good. Yeah, it feels good. Yeah, it feels good.
Oh my God, are you, I don't know whether to hate you and beat you or to throw you on the floor and start licking your face. You are filthy, aren't you?
Yeah. Bet you'd like to taste some of this, wouldn't you?
Why, you dirty filthy... Come here. Come here.
Right in the gut.
That's right. Oh, what's that up in the air?
Oh, dude, it hit my jaw.
Oh, Steve, there's something on your shoulder that... Oh! Do you like it still?
Yeah.
You do, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, you dirty... Oh, God, just like Ray Liotta in Killing Them Softly. That was fun. I know a lot of you often write me and say, Bobby, how do you keep your marriage spirited? And how are you doing, honey?
Yeah, I'm good.
Are you okay?
Are you okay, yeah?
Well, honey, your lip's swelling up and your mouth is a mess. And where are your teeth? Oh, look at that. There's a tooth there.
I'll get it.
Can you get the tooth?
Yeah, I'll get it.
A lot of you do write and ask, Bobby, how do you do it? How do you keep your marriage so sprightly and lively and fun and lively, you know? And yes, Steve and I have a very healthy physical relationship, obviously, as well as the emotional bond that we share. I met Steve, a lot of you would be interested to know, I met Steve at a beach party, at a good old-fashioned bonfire down at the beach. This was in Huntington Beach. Back in the day, I won't say what year. Isn't that right, honey?
Oh, God. Oh.
Well, lay down, honey. Lay down. I kicked him in the testicles. Are you all right?
Yeah.
Put some ice on it if you want. Get up and go. You're going to have to get up and get it because I can't do it for you. In the refrigerator is a bag of frozen peas that I was going to have for dinner. Yeah, get the frozen peas, and it says Jolly Green Giant. Steve?
Yeah?
Jolly Green Giant.
Yeah.
And put those on your, just stick them down your pants. So what I was going to say is, I met Steve at a beach party when we were teens. I don't want to say the year, but I'll give you a hint. What can I tell you? What would be a hint? Oh, here's one. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Kurt Cobain and Nirvana. But anyway, so we're at this peach party. We're at a beach party. And I distinctly heard the voice of a guy saying, anybody want to buy a fake ID? And I went, oh, my God, my heart quickened a little bit, you know. And I went around the corner to a late model Chrysler or something, and the tailgate was up, the trunk was open, and I looked, and sitting on the bumper talking to another group of kids was this really handsome, really hunky guy with his hair sort of tossed and curly like Michael Anthony Hall, you know, and his shirt open, and he had on those, you know, sexy designer jeans, and it was Steve, and he was selling fake IDs, and then the kids all dispersed, and he started to, he was tying off, weren't you, honey?
Yeah, yeah.
He was tying off and shooting up Darvon or something. He was crushing some stuff into a spoon and then tying off, but I knew as soon as I said, oh, God, he's for me, and so we've been together ever since, But we do keep it spicy, and we do keep it fun and spicy. Here's an email that I got. Dear Bobby, how do you keep it spicy, what with Steve's impotence and the stink of barbecue? And that's from Desi in Granada Hills. Thank you, Desi. What Desi's referring to is that Steve has an impotence problem if he smells barbecue being pork being barbecued, or if he hears an air conditioner particularly loud. And then the third is if he believes that he is no longer in L.A. County. Now, I should amend that because, Steve, your body is something, because even if you think you're in L.A. County, if you're not in L.A. County, you're impotent. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if you're saying yeah or if the ice on your testicles feels that good. Which is it?
I'm saying, yeah, you're right.
Yes, I'm right?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's saying, yeah, I'm right, meaning that, yeah, I'm right. So what that means is essentially this. What, honey?
Oh, come on. God, old news.
No, it's not old news. There's a whole bunch of people that haven't heard our podcast. So Steve cannot perform sexually if someone is barbecuing pork or if there are loud air conditioning units in the area or if we are beyond the limits of Los Angeles County. Now, there was one year we were driving out to the desert, and I tried to trick Steve. We stopped in Banning, which is a small desert hovel of a town. It's not a hovel, but it's nowhere that I would ever consider living. And I don't mean any offense to our very good friends and so many of the wonderful Bobby Dooley fans that do live in Banning. But I would never in my wildest dreams even think of stopping to go to the toilet there, let alone actually look up real estate. But nonetheless, we did this one particular day stop in Banning, but there was a method to my madness.
Okay.
What I did... What, Rick?
Okay, can I stand by?
Steve, do you need some more ice?
Yeah.
Can you get it for him, Rick?
Uh-huh.
Rick Wiffner's going to go get another bag of frozen peas so Steve can put them on his... And I'm saying this to be... I hope I'm not offending it. On his ball... On the bollicles or what?
On testicles.
On the testicles, I'm sorry. Is he okay? So I decided we would stop in Banning. I told Steve, I announced to the car, the boys were with us. We were on our way out to my mom and dad's golf condo on Country Club Drive in Palm Desert. I don't know if a lot of you are familiar with the Palm Desert area, but it has beautiful golf villas there. And my mother and father had a beautiful golf villa there at the Thunderbird Resort. So we would often go out there to the golf villa at the Thunderbird Resort. Please don't bother us if you do go to the Thunderbird Resort trying to look our name up, because it is held in confidence by the homeowners board out there at the Thunderbird Resort. So when we were out there, I said, I'm announcing to everyone in the car we're going to spend the night in Banning since we're still in L.A. County. I want to see the sights, and I made up some baloney excuse for the boys, and they didn't care. They wanted to go off and look at the giant plastic dinosaur that they have at this truck stop there. So Steve and I repaired to the motel room, and wouldn't you know it, I said, Steve, we're still in L.A. County, so let's do the do. And then he always says, what, Steve, what do you always say?
And the funky chicken, too.
And the funky chicken, too. So we... start, and guess what? No can do. Mm-mm. No, 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 no. Mr. Love was asleep. Not only was he asleep, he was in a drunken coma, I think. And so I said, how about that? Steve's body knows that we're not in L.A. County. I thought that was really interesting, you know?
Yeah. Wow.
Well, you're sounding a little bit more like yourself, honey.
Yeah.
Okay, well, anyway... So that was that, and we do have a very lively sex life. Thank you so very much, Desi, for your question. Okay, look, we're going to take a break and come back when we are good and ready, and not a minute sooner, as my father used to say. Here on The Phil Hendry Show, I'm Bobby Dooley, filling in. You wanna push? What is this? This is not rock and roll. I want rock and roll.
I don't know, find it.
I want my holiday for strings. Welcome
Swamps
back, everyone. Oh, God, this is folk music. I don't play this. I don't play this. Welcome back here to Bobby Dooley filling in for Phil Hendry here on the Phil Hendry, on the Phil Hendry. And we are really, really happy that you're with us. Sorry that we started the hour with, or started that segment with such a drag of a song, Rick Wiffner, but I don't want that to ever happen again, if you don't mind. So right now, I'm just monitoring my husband, Steve. I had to slap his face and kick him between the legs a few times because he was giving us a world of grief. acting like a slob and a pig and just being very, there's a lot of times, and I don't know how to say this, but I know a lot of you gals know what I mean. Do you ever get with your husband, you know, where he gets really sexy and he looks real sexy in his jeans and you're thinking, how dare you look so good, you know, and you want to beat him until he bleeds for a month afterwards? You do? Then you know how I feel about my husband. It's that kind of passion and romance and love that really makes it happen for Steve and I. And I'm very, very grateful that that we have that. I have three sons, Justin, Dylan, and Seth, as I mentioned. And these are three boys that they've been challenges for us. Boys are always a challenge. But as I started saying at the beginning of the program, I'm so very, very grateful that I have sons and not daughters, because what I've heard from my friends is that when you have a daughter and she turns 12, she goes from being a cute bundle of happiness and joy and sugar and spice and everything nice, and she morphs into the thing from underneath the house, is the best way I can put it. The thing, for, you know, Steve?
Yeah, that's that. Yeah, hey.
Are you still in pain, honey?
Yeah, you bet.
Well, but you know what I mean, right, honey?
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have to fight through the pain, Steve, because your part in this show is that you support me and that you're like my second banana, you know?
I talked about a banana.
No, I don't mean it that way, okay?
Talked about a banana.
I don't mean it that way, Steve. Your part in this show is to support me and be the second banana.
My God, tell him I'm a banana.
Rick, don't even go there. Rick, I don't talk to engineers, so just keep your mouth shut. Do you know what I mean by second banana?
Talk about a banana.
He's got a one-track mind. When you have a daughter and she is the apple of your eye, and I've often thought, wouldn't it be fun to have a daughter? Wouldn't it be fun to have a girl? So that when she gets to be older, she can take you to lunch and you can go and, oh, I don't know, look at fashions together and go places and do things together. But then I realized that between the ages of 12 and 18, they become the ghoul from the crawl space. And you are living in constant fear, fear that something will crawl into your room and get under the covers and creep you way out. And what is it? Is it the baby from It's Alive? Is it that purple-headed baby from It's Alive? Well, is it? Is it, Steve?
No, it's a banana.
Well, it's not a banana. It's your daughter. It's your daughter. It's your sweet little sugar and spice and everything what's nice. So you don't need that, that's for sure. Or to paraphrase Henry from Henry's Cameras, a very, very popular commercial here in Los Angeles for many years, you can't beat that. Okay.
Not bad a banana.
If you say that one more time, I'm going to come over there. I will set upon you like the werewolf in that movie we saw the other night when he carved up those two guys in the jail cell.
All right.
But I will be talking here for just a second to a very, very good friend of ours who is also the head of security at Western Estates. And he does such a slam, bang, bang up, ding, dang, damn, ding, however you say that, does such a great job. Jay Santos, he is the head of our security at Western Estates, and he joins us here on our newsmaker line. Jay, you know what I mean about daughters, don't you?
Well, it's not like I have my own personal experience, Ms. Dooley, but I do know a lot of friends. I have a son myself. I do not have a daughter. My wife has a daughter by a previous marriage. That she does not have custody of. Her ex-husband has custody of it, but she does have visitation with that daughter. And my wife comes back every visitation weekend when she goes out to see her daughter, and she comes back with all kinds of tales that will curl a hair right on the top of your head or straighten the hair out from between, you know, dot, dot, dot.
Yeah, enough said. Enough said on that one. I know what you mean.
All right.
So what does she say? What are some of the stories?
Well, my wife come back. My wife's name is Julie, by the way. And Julie, as I say, we have one son together. She has a daughter by previous marriage that she had with Richter, who's her ex-husband. This is a gentleman who is a he's a Mason by trade.
When you say a Mason, do you mean in a lodge?
No, I'm talking about a bricklayer. He is a Mason, a brick Mason. That means a construction contractor. Does a lot of masonry. Does a lot of does some concrete work, mostly masonry. When she goes out and she is with her daughter and they spend a weekend, she'll come back with tales of terror and a tale of horror. Everything from going out to have something to eat and she's too fat, and she don't want to eat this, don't want to eat that. You know, meeting her friends, seeing some of the boyfriends that she's going out with is a veritable who's who from the Aryan Resistance. And
well, I don't know what that is, but
you don't want to know. You don't want to know. Yeah, you don't want to know. But
it doesn't sound friendly.
No, it's not friendly at all. I mean, her boyfriends are, it's a veritable who's, I'm telling you right now, her boyfriends are veritable who's who. Who's who from anywhere from the Brotherhood to Aryan Brotherhood, White Aryan Resistance, you name it, Aryan Nations.
Well, that's a very impressive list of organizations. Are these, what are these? Are these social organizations? Are they?
You could say they're social organizations, but it's nothing you want to have nothing to do with. So when she comes back after these visitation weekends, she is very definitely happy to see me and the boy. Yeah, you know, Julie loves to see me and the boy, and the three of us, me, Julie, and the boy, we'll have a barbecue or what have you.
Now, what is the boy, what's his name?
Yeah, it's me, Julie, and the boy, yeah.
Well, what's his name?
The boy?
Yes, your son.
Oh, yeah, that's a very good question. me, Julie, and the boy. I've said that it's me, Julie, and the boy until the cows come home, and I don't even know what the boy's name is. Let me just call him Elmo for now, and I'll give my wife a call.
You don't even know your own son's name?
Well, yeah, look, I love my son very much, but I have always known him as the boy. When I say that...
No, I understand it's you, Julie, and the boy, but you don't know his name.
I'm calling him Elmo for now. I'm sure that when Julie calls me back, I just put a call, and I just message her, dear Julie. But I just sent a message to her, hey, Julie, what's the boy's name? And, okay, here, Logan, yeah. See, that's why I forgot it, because it's one of those names.
Okay, your son's name is Logan.
Right, it's me, Julie, and a boy. Or Logan, if you will.
You, Julie, and Logan.
Me, Julie, and Logan, right. Man, we have a very good relationship, but I can tell you, hearing these stories about having a daughter, it's like the thing come from a sewer.
Yeah, you know, there was a movie out not too long ago called Chud, Cannibalistic Humanoid Underdevelopment, or I don't know what it stood for.
Oh, yeah, I saw Chud one time. I was kind of bored because my wife was out of town with a boy, and I seen Chud.
Oh, did you see it?
Yeah.
Well, I never saw it, but from the descriptions I heard, you could say that that's every teenage girl. You know, Chud was the name of the thing that lived under a manhole cover, and I realize I'm making it sound far, far worse than I should, ladies and gentlemen. Girls are a joy.
One of the things that...
Yeah, just turn him down, will you? Because he's starting to get on my nerves. Girls are a joy. To have a daughter is a blessing. There's no question about it. But when your daughter turns 13 and becomes Chud, it's a very, very big challenge. There's no question about it. Here's a song called Hot Dog.
Are you allowed to say that?
Are we allowed to say hot dog? Yes, Rick Wiffner gave the thumbs up. Your throat. Oh, hi, it's the Bobby Dooley Show, filling in for Phil Henry. This has been really interesting. It's been very challenging. We had a couple of guests that we didn't think we were going to get. We thank Jay Santos for filling in for us. We did have a guest planned, Bill Bouffant, who does my hair, and we were going to do a segment on the Bouffant hairdo, which he was named for. He never, and I don't wear a Bouffant. There hasn't been a Bouffant hairdo, I don't think, since Jackie Kennedy, God bless her, but, and even she stopped wearing the Bouffant, you know.
Well, what do you call a Bouffant?
Well, the Bouffant is a big boo. It's called a Bouffant because it's French for just big fat boo font. I don't know why it's called that, to answer your question, but Bill Bouffant has been doing my hair for a long time. His family has nothing to do with the Bouffant hairdo. He just named himself Bouffant when he knew he was going into the hairstyle business.
Well, he had to have his name legally changed then.
Yes, I guess he did. I mean, if it's your last name, you have to have it legally changed to Bouffant.
Yeah, what was his original last name?
I think his original last name was Bill Gunner, or Bill Gunner, or Bill Gunner. G-U-N-N-E-R, is that Gunner?
That's Gunner.
So Bill Gunner. And he wanted to go into hairstyling, so he changed his name to Page Boy. And someone said, well, a Page Boy doesn't, that, you know, that doesn't even exist anymore. And I think he experimented with Bill Shag and Bill Bowl Cut.
Did he do, so he did do Bowl Cut?
Yes, he did. He went to Bill Bowl, I'm sorry, am I talking into my hands? I know, I'm sorry, Rick. I started to wipe my nose and I was talking. It sounds like, oh, everybody, this is Bobby. I'm sorry. So it was Bill Bowl Cut. It was Bill Mo Howard, all kinds of names.
And Bill Flattop.
Bill Flattop. Until finally he settled on Bill Bouffant. And I said, why that? And he said, well, it just sounds French and it sounds very big and filled with life. And I said, well, that's as good a reason as any to stop changing your name from Flat Top to Butch Cut to Shag Cut. At one point, his last name was Mohawk. I said, well, why not that? And he said, no, it makes me sound like I'm some sort of an engine. And I said, well, you got that right. Well, welcome back, folks, to the program. We're going to have on the line here Brad Rifkin from Rifkin Advertising. And the reason why we're going to have Brad on here is because of the passing of a great man in the world of sports. And Brad Rifkin is here to tell us more about that. Brad, how are you?
Hey, Bobby. I'm very good, thank you.
And who has passed on?
Well, Bobby, a guy by the name of Frank Jobe passed on. Frank Jobe was a pioneer in sports medicine.
Well, he didn't play any sports himself.
Yeah, did he play baseball?
No, he didn't play baseball. He didn't play any sports. He was a doctor. He was a team doctor at the Los Angeles Dodgers for a number of years. And the reason why it's a passing of note is because Dr. Jobe was the one who came up with what has since become known as Tommy John surgery.
Can you say that again? Tommy Gun surgery.
No, not Tommy Gun.
Tommy John.
Yeah, that's right, Steve. It's Tommy John.
What is that?
Well, that's a he. That's a guy.
That's a man. I'm sorry. His name is Tommy John.
Yes, and Tommy John was a pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers, and he had ruptured a tendon or something in his...
Can I have to interrupt you for one. Can we say rupture? I'm just talking to Rick Wiffner.
Yes, ma'am.
Can we say rupture, Rick? Can we say rupture? Because if a guy ruptures himself... Okay, we can. Go ahead, we can.
Okay, so what happened was, and I have the news story in front of me here, Ms. Dooley. I want to be accurate here. He was the one, he performed his groundbreaking surgery on Tommy John in 1974. He'd ruptured a medial collateral ligament in his left elbow.
Okay, let's just slow down. A medial, what is it?
Yeah, call it medial collateral.
A medial collateral ligament, yeah.
Okay. I guess he didn't have collateral for that, did he? Did he?
That's pretty good, honey. I just got it.
Yeah, did he?
No, I guess he didn't. No, he didn't have no collateral. Yeah.
That was impromptu. That was a spontaneity that I did. But go ahead.
Okay. No. So, yeah, he ruptured a medial collateral ligament in his left elbow. Now, this was an injury, Bobby and Steve, that up until that point, had no solution to. If a pitcher ruptured the medial collateral ligament in his left elbow, right elbow, there was no answer, and he was done, you know.
So he'd have to retire from playing the game of baseball.
Yes, absolutely, he'd have to retire.
All right, so then came Dr. Frank Jobe, and how did he do it?
How did he do what?
What did he do with it?
Well, his surgery is what he did. And what Dr. Frank Jobe did was he operated in 1974 on Tommy John, this pitcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers who had ruptured this in his elbow. And he basically removed a tendon from Tommy John's forearm and repaired the elbow with it. And Tommy John went on to pitch 14 more years after the operation, and he got 164 more victories as a pitcher, and he never missed a start because of an elbow problem.
So that is quite an achievement, Steve. Did you hear that?
I missed a lot of it. Can you say it again?
Could you say it again? Steve was putting some Mountain Dew in the machine over here. We're out of Mountain Dew.
You want me to
Start all over again. I've got to get a Mountain Dew.
All right, Dr. Frank Job.
And who was he?
He was a doctor who passed on, a very great sports medicine doctor who passed on. And Dr. Job performed surgery on Tommy John.
And that's a man, ladies and gentlemen. That's not a Tommy Gun or a Tommy John.
Yeah, but like a rapid-fire in bathroom, if you think about it.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Can I just interrupt you for a minute here?
Yes, go ahead.
I'm talking about a man that just passed on who was very important in the world of sports, and the two of you are talking like a couple of morons that eat with your hands. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Right. So, in other words, this guy, this Dr. Job, Frank Job, who is a pioneer of sports medicine, he developed a surgery.
Mm-hmm.
He developed a surgery
mm-hmm.
that other doctors copied and saved the careers of a great many men.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so that's what he done did, and you're all making jokes about Mountain Dew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what do you mean, I find that very offensive that this man, you know, he died.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand. Go ahead.
He died. The man died. You know, he has family, he has friends, he has colleagues, people that respect and love him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying.
Right. So why don't you have some respect and listen to what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. No, I understand. That's big news, yeah.
Yeah, I just figure that out. Just needed to get the Mountain Dew.
Yeah, okay. So do you got your Mountain Dew now?
Yeah, I do.
If you were here, we'd offer you one, but...
No, I don't want a Mountain Dew. I just wanted to tell you that Frank Job, a great man, and...
Hold on for just a minute there, Brad.
Well, no, wait a minute. This...
Okay, we're going to take a break, right, Rick Wiffner?
You want to take a break?
Oh, all right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We have more from our very good friend Brad Rifkin, who is talking to us here about Dr. Frank Job and the tendon surgery that he created, and you know.
Yeah, he transplanted one.
Yeah, and everything. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the Bobby Dooley Show, filling in for Phil Hendry. Brad Rifkin is with us, and he's telling us about the passing of sports medicine person.
A sports guy,
the passing of a sports guy named Dr. Frank Job. And Brad, I know you're, just bear with us. Frank Job is who again?
You know, Ms. Dooley, I can hang the phone up here, and I can just not be on your show, and I can go and do another show where they're going to appreciate this information.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, uh-huh, uh-huh. You understand that?
Mm-hmm, yeah. What did he do again, dear?
What did he do again? He was a sports doctor.
Now, what do you say a sports doctor does what?
A sports doctor? Well, he is a guy that paints Easter eggs, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, and the sports doctor is the guy that hides the Easter eggs after he paints them, and then he pops out of a bush in a bunny rabbit costume. That's what he does.
And so this bunny rabbit died?
Yeah, the bunny rabbit died. The bunny rabbit died that paints all the Easter eggs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, what about Tommy John?
Well, Tommy John used to help him hide the Easter eggs, but Tommy ain't doing that no more since this beast,
the Beast Bunny, did you call him?
No, the Easter Bunny, not the Beast Bunny. The Easter Bunny died.
Okay, well, that's very interesting, and thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That was a whole lot of nothing, wasn't it?
Yeah, I didn't talk about the Beast Bunny.
Well, it's not the Beast Bunny. It's the Easter Bunny. He had that wrong. That was the part that right away I knew he was full of it. And then he goes on and on about Easter eggs. It's not even Easter time yet, but it is getting close. But you know what else is getting close? Is St. Patrick's Day. We have a wonderful time at Western Estates where we have the St. Patty's Day celebration. Steve dresses up in his leprechaun costume with the big dangling shamrock, and I don't want people to get the wrong idea. It's an adult celebration, isn't it, honey?
Yeah, well, I got the shamrock, and I did have it inside the trousers.
Well, Steve wears these traditional Irish trousers. They're the knee breeches that so many of the Irish used to wear. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but if you go to Ireland, if you went to Ireland and it was 1600 and something, or I don't know.
No, probably 1800.
Yeah, maybe 1800 if you went to Ireland. You would see the Ireland men dressed up in these breech pants and the big shamrock bulging. Not, I shouldn't say bulging, but...
That was my joke.
That's what Steve, that was his joke. So last year, during our celebration, Steve said, well, there's the four-leaf clover. And I said, well, we have the giant four-leaf clover shamrock. And he goes, ha-ha, watch this. And he slid it down the front of these trousers, okay? And he walked up to the gals and said, are you feeling lucky? And I remember Sue Gloonman looked at you with that look on her face like what?
Yeah, she had a look on her face like, you know, I came from I was a Mars man, or I came from the planet Mars.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, and I said, are you feeling lucky? And she goes, huh? And I unzipped my pants and pulled out the shamrock. And she fainted or something.
Well, yes, she blacked out momentarily, right?
Yeah, she blacked out when she saw the shamrock come out of there.
Right, so this year we're toning it down just a little bit, and we're just going to have the shamrock as an ornament or an accoutrement, if you will, from Steve's lucky leprechaun costume. And that's what we call Steve every year, Lucky the Leprechaun. And it's a lot of fun. But we do want people to join us for our St. Patrick's Day celebration. And that is on St. Patrick's Day. That's the 17th of March, which is going to be when?
The 17th of March. Wow.
Oh, that's the Monday that Phil Henry starts his. Is that St. Patrick's Day? Rick Gleason? Wifner? Gleason is Rick's, is Rick Gleason is the husband. Are you married to?
No. He's not, honey.
Are you, Rick? Okay, I'm a little confused, but the 17th of March is the first day that the Phil Henry Show will be taking place on the digital platform. I don't yet know what the actual date of St. Patrick's Day is, and that is what we are looking up. However, we do want you to join us for the St. Patrick's Day festivities at the Western Estates Homeowners Association, and that will be on St. Patrick's Day. Steve?
Yeah, everybody, come on out and rub the shamrock.
Now, joining me on the line is Father James McCorders, and it wouldn't be St. Patrick's Day without the good father. Father McCorders, how are you, dear?
Bobby and Steve, I'm doing fine. I am on the program to say a preliminary happy St. Patrick's Day and also ask you to understand that St. Patrick's Day is a Catholic festival and a Catholic holiday as well. And we want you to be sensitive to the needs of Catholics as you celebrate this day, which of course goes across all faith lines. It is something that goes across all lines of demarcation, all color lines and so forth. Even African-American people, even black people celebrate St. Patrick's Day. And I've seen marvelous celebrations in the black community for St. Patrick's Day.
You have? That's really unusual.
Yeah, how do black people do that?
All of the black people, I've seen young African-American people wearing green sunglasses and sort of a mixing of jazz and hip-hop cool with the St. Patrick's Day tradition. So they've got on their green shades and a green lipstick and this kind of thing. It's marvelous, just marvelous. But let's talk, if we might, Steve, to you and Bobby, you can overhear us, I'm saying here. Will you talk about, now what is that in the background?
That is traditional Irish Gaelic dance music.
All right, right. This is the music that we would dance to when I was a young man, generally at the pub after we'd gone to see the steeplechase. or perhaps if one of his Irish football, and we'd come back, we'd repair back to the pub and to talk about it and meet with the families and meet with the neighbourhood and have some supper. And then someone would break out a fiddle and someone would break out a stringed instrument of some kind, a lute, and then would begin, dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee, how they call me, only Joe is where I go, everywhere I go with you, I'll probably take your wife too, and your mama, and your, and that kind of thing.
What, that sounds almost dirty.
No, 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 there's nothing dirty about it. Listen, listen to the lilting melody, listen. Dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. And we go up to where they are, all the people gathered far. We'll see all the people there, and you'll be there, she'll be bare. We'd fool around with things like that.
All right, we have Father James McCorders with us, and we are hoping that you'll be out for a St. Patrick's Day celebration.
I can come out for the St. Patrick's Day celebration, Bobby. But Bobby and Steve, I want you to know, all bets are off. I cannot be a party to any celebration where Steve's got people rubbing the shamrock. I can't do it. I can't be a party to it. The reason why I'm saying this is because, Steve, if the shamrock is in your trousers, you understand, there's certain things I just can't... It goes over the line.
I understand. That's a very, very good point. And I'm so sorry, Father McCorders. I don't mean to offend you. We don't want to offend your faith. The shamrock... It all came about as the result of too much alcohol, but Steve had said, "Are you feeling lucky?"
No, I know. He said, "Are you feeling lucky?" And they pulled a shamrock out of his slacks. Is that it?
Well, they weren't slacks.
Well, whatever they were, trousers, traditional Irish. They were traditional Irish jump trousers. Is that right?
Yeah, my understanding, yeah, they were jump trousers.
All right. So fine. So you know, no harm, no foul. All right. So you did wrong. You screwed up. You acted like a pig. But now you know what you did wrong, and you'll never do it again. Correct?
Yeah, Father, I'll never do that again.
All right. So I would hope that you're not going to be walking around saying, "Do you feel lucky?" And out comes the shamrock. I just have the shamrock there, and people can rub it if they want to, but don't have it anywhere near your crotch.
Words of wisdom, Father McCorders. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, Bobby. Let me ask you, Bobby, how is it you come to me on the radio tonight?
Well, Phil Henry had some other business to attend to, and he asked if I would be the host of the show tonight.
Well, congratulations. You're doing a good job, Bobby. And Steve, you're doing a great job. And God bless all. For me, Father McCorders, we'll see you at Western States for the St. Patrick's Day celebration. I hope, if I'm not taking care of Father Staley, you know, trying to put him to bed.
Well, make sure he doesn't get too much of the Irish whiskey that I know you priests love to drink.
Yeah, sure.
I'm sorry, did I overstep?
No, you know, just Jesus, go easy, will you?
I find him quite a bang lot.
You got it. That husband of yours is a real weird...
Isn't he delightful, Father James McCorders, joining us here on the Bobby Dooley Show, filling in for Phil Hendry's show. Dee-dee-dee-dee. Steve, are you going to be... Now, what do you do, honey?
Well, I put on a traditional leprechaun costume. And I go out and get the leprechaun suit. I got to rent the leprechaun suit from the costume store.
You have to rent the suit, yeah.
And put on a leprechaun hat, and then I greet everybody at the door with a lucky shamrock. Tell people to rub on it. Now that's not gonna. I'll do it. That you know what he say.
Yeah, you can't have the lucky shamrock dangling from anything. Just give it a rub. Give them their raffle ticket, and get their asses. Excuse my language. Folks, I'm sorry. Just have them give the shamrock a rub, give them their raffle ticket, push them into the party, stuff as many people as you can into the community center, and pray that we don't have a fire hazard. And then later on, we'll do the drawing.
Yeah, that's all they'll do. But you'll know me. I'll be the big green man.
Well, he'll be a leprechaun, because if you say you're a big green man, they'll think you're...
Yeah, no, like I'm a Mars man.
Yeah, he's not a Mars man. He's a man. He's a man who's green. Which is a leprechaun. Which, by the way, leprechauns are little men that guard a pot of gold.
30 seconds.
And you have to keep your eye on the leprechaun at all times. If you do, then you know where he's hid his pot of gold. Okay? But if you don't pay attention to him, he'll escape. And then you won't know where the pot of gold is, you know?
Yeah, you got to keep your eye on the leprechaun.
Four.
You are a real pig. Steve
two,
just pointed.
One.
Keep your eye on it.
Well, this has been so much fun. This is the Bobby Dooley Show, filling in for the Phil Hendry Show. And I'm Bobby Dooley, and with me is my husband, Steve. We had Father James McQuarters here just moments ago. And I think we have another guest due up here in very short order, Steve.
Yeah. Well, I thought I had the guy on hold. I had to double check to see if he's still there.
All right, well, we do have a guest that we have. Oh, it's Dr. Jim Sadler, isn't it?
Yeah. Dr. Sadler, you there?
All right. Let me ask you a question, honey, as long as I've got you on the line. We were talking about St. Patrick's Day, which is always a favorite time of ours at the Western Estates Homeowners Association. When I said that you have to keep your eye on the leprechaun in order not to lose track of the leprechaun and his pot of gold, you pointed at your you-know-what, and I've gotten used to this, girls. A lot of you out there are shaking your heads and going, oh, God, he's just like my husband. Well, yes, he is. You pointed at your... Why did you do that?
Well, I mean, you know.
No, I don't know. Why did you do that?
Come on, Bobby.
No, why did you do that, Steve?
Because that's the nickname I have for my penis.
Come here.
Oh, come on. Ah, yeah, the face. Wow. And the swelling had just started going down. Ah.
There. Now do you feel funny, funny man?
God, big deal.
Yes, it is a big deal. I'm a woman, and I'm your wife. And when I say keep your eye on the leprechaun, that's not occasion for you and every other man to go hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo and point at your you-know-what.
Man, the swelling just started to go down.
Well, I guess the swelling's going back up now. Oh, are you laughing at that?
Come on, brother. Ah!
There's one to grow on.
Oh, what?
Nothing. So, this reminds me, and I'm sorry to have to bring this up. It reminded me three St. Patrick's days ago, so 3 years, Steve had given it another nickname. What is it with men nicknaming it? Isn't that the most... Isn't that strange? It's not childish. It's not really perverse. It's just very strange. It's almost schizophrenic or... There's something really weird about that, but... Steve had nicknamed it Lucky.
Oh, come on. You're bringing that up again?
Yes, I'm bringing it up again. And he's walking up to every woman in the party saying, oh, do you feel lucky? Did you feel lucky? Ha, 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 ha. And, of course, all the gals are going, oh, Steve, you're so cute. Ha, ha, yes, I do feel lucky. And he'd go, that's funny, because I don't feel it. And they're all looking at him like he's a total tard, didn't they?
No, but we're both him.
No one can understand you, Steve, because your mouth is contorted, because I gave you 3 good shots. And you'll notice what ring am I wearing.
Oh, man, are you kidding me?
No, I'm wearing the big rock today. So we're going to have Dr. Jim Sadler joining us here on the Bobby Dooley Filling In for Phil Hendry Show. Dr. Sadler, how are you?
Oh, I'm very good, Bobby and Steve, and sounds like you got a very raucous evening going on there.
Well, we do, and we're very happy to... What is that, your construction going on?
Right, we are overseeing the expansion of our offices here in San Diego, Bobby. We have a new clinic going in, a adolescent clinic where we can treat a lot of the problems that our adolescents have, the overeating, the self-abuse, the cutting of themselves, that a lot of these different problems that the kids have.
I heard, and excuse me for asking, I heard there were some irregularities.
No. There was no irregularities. The first thing we're installing.
I'm sorry if I brought up something I shouldn't have.
No. I'm glad you did bring it up, Bobby. We're installing the home where I will live and where my wife will live with me, obviously. So we're installing the home.
You're installing the home.
Well, we're building the home, which is where we're going to live. And then we're going to have the clinic, which is going to be a part of the home.
You're going to live in the clinic?
Oh, well, you may say that, yeah, because it will be an extension. The home part, which is where the bedroom and, you know, the kitchen, that part will be very small compared to the clinic that we're building that will have of all the things.
Well, the thing that I read, this is in the local San Diego. I won't bring it up if you don't want me to.
No, go ahead. I've got nothing to hide, unless this is the article in the San Diego Union. At which point, they're nothing but liars. They're liars. I can tell you that right now.
Well, it says that there's an indoor pool. Indoor pool. There is home theater.
Yeah, that's all part of the clinic. Yes.
Well, how is that part of a clinic?
Well, like I said, I didn't know you were going to read the San Diego Union article. Those people are liars, and I don't trust them, so I'd rather not comment. If you were just reading the article that was written about us in the San Diego, whatever that thing is, they got the weekly fish wrap. They got a weekly paper there, which is kind of a hippie paper.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, well, that's the one that I approve of, but the San Diego paper, the San Diego Union, no, I don't.
All right, well, I won't ask you any more questions, but you are overseeing the construction of that right now?
Oh, yeah, we're working overtime. It's 9:30 at night, and I've got these guys. I got cement mixers here. I got all kinds of guys here. They thought they were going home at 7. No can do. No way. No way. And Bill Fleming and all the guys are here from the construction company. They know what's up. I told them, I said, you guys have been knocking off early. You've been going home early. I said, tonight, your ass is mine. Yeah, hear that? See that jackhammering? They're working their asses off. Otherwise, Bill, you know what I said? Yeah, he's over there. How you doing, buddy? Yeah, you dirty. I said to him, good luck getting the next paycheck for this.
Well, that is the way to deal with contractors. There's no question about it.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to say to them, we're not paying until this part of the job is done. Now, I know there's a lot of contractors that will say, well, then we won't do the job. That's fine. You're not the only contractor in the phone book, you know. So.
Absolutely true.
All right, so I wanted to talk to you about Dr. Sadler. What were we going to talk to you about?
Well, we're going to talk about your husband and the uses of nicknames for the penis. I thought that was my understanding.
Is that what you were told?
Yes, that's exactly what I was told.
See, I didn't think that that's what we were going to talk about, but okay, so. My husband, who is a wonderful man, and it's a man that I love deeply, is a guy, that's very loud.
Yeah, well, we're over here. No, yeah, we're over here. That's pretty loud. I'm on the radio. I'm talking at a Phil Hendry show. I got, yeah. Well, tell the guy to keep annoying. There's nothing I can do about it, Bobby. I'm sorry. But they're jackhammering. There's a big granite slab where we're going to put the pool. And they got to get that out of there.
Well, when men nickname their private parts and talk to them, and isn't that weird?
Oh, yeah, it's very weird. Hey, you, come here. Let me see that. That's the wrong color mix. That's not the cement I want to put in. It's absolutely, in my opinion, it's very weird. When a guy's nicknaming it and saying, hey, like, for instance, if I called mine Jay Jr., what am I going to say? Ow, J. Jr. hurts, or I got to go to the J. Jr. doctor? I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say what I would normally say. Now, in the case of your husband, because it is St. Patrick's Day, and because everybody makes with the shamrock jokes and the little green man joke and the leprechaun joke, I would say it's only dangerous if he paints it green. And believe me, I've had guys do that.
Say that again. Paints it green?
Yeah, paints it green.
Are you people out there?
I'm sorry, I heard what sounded like an animal with its leg caught in a bear trap. What is that?
That's my husband. I had to, that's awfully loud.
Hey, wait a minute. I gotta leave. I gotta do this interview. I want the right color cement going in, okay? And I don't want that tile. I want that stuff's too gay. I don't care if my wife picked it out. Yeah, all right. I'm going to get in the car, Bobby, and probably just take a little bit of a drive here so that we can have some privacy. I will say that if you have a guy on St. Patrick's Day who's decided that he wants to paint it green, are you saying your husband decided to do that?
Well, no, not yet. He did have, he pointed at it and called it, just a moment ago, he pointed at it and called it the leprechaun.
But it's not green.
Not that I know. I mean, I don't really... What do you mean by green?
Did he paint it green, or is the blood cut off?
I don't know. What does that mean?
I mean, you've got a very serious case, I think, a psychotic case, whereby he is imagining that his, you know what, it has powers, powers far beyond those of any normal, you know, penis. And for him to be looking upon that as a real thing, a real a fact of his life, and he's pointing at it and talking to it and laughing about it. Now, you just say you beat your husband because he made that crack. Is that correct?
Yes, I did.
All right. That could be very dangerous, because if he really believes that it's a leprechaun and he's pointing at it and so on and so forth, and then you beat him up, now he is sitting there fuming and resentful and plotting and planning with the leprechaun, let's just call it that, to exact their, not his, but their revenge. So,
So, Steve, are you plotting your revenge with the leprechaun?
What? What are you saying?
He doesn't even understand what I'm saying.
Well, he sounds like an animal with the mouth all swollen. I would want to talk to him once his mouth isn't full of whatever it's got, or...
No, it's swollen from when I clocked him.
Oh, okay. I would talk to him at some future point and get some straight answers out of him, because right now all he sounds like is some animal that is caught in a cage. Can he hear me? Put the headphones on him.
Steve, honey, I'm going to put these headphones on you.
Can you hear me, Steve? This is Dr. Sadler.
Yes, sir, hi.
Oh, you sound like hell. What'd she do?
Can you cluck me in the face?
She clucked like a what?
She clucked me in the face.
She clucked you in the face, okay. So you can't talk? Are your teeth missing?
About two of them.
Do you want me to interpret?
No. It's very important that I... About three of them?
Yeah.
All right. Why did you call your you-know-what a leprechaun? Don't call me a fairy, because I, you know what? Up to this point, I haven't set a bill to your house. You want me to build you? Call me a fairy. Call me a fairy. Go ahead.
You see?
Okay, I'm setting a bill to your house.
Nice one, Steve. Dr. Sadler, hold on.
Hello.
The man was treating us for free, and you just called him a fairy, and now we're getting a bill. That's $600 an hour.
Oh, Dickie.
Steve, I have no problem at all taking the back. See this ice skate? Did you hear what happened to that one guy with the Florida Panthers who fell forward and the skate went right into his mouth? That's you.
Well, hey.
We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, as we wrap up here this evening on The Phil Henry Show. It has been my pleasure. I'm Bobby Dooley. Thank you very much, Dr. Jim Sadler, for joining us and giving us your expertise on this very interesting topic of hallucinations and St. Patrick's Day, which I think probably all go together. Welcome back, everyone. This is Bobby Dooley, and Steve Dooley, my husband, is here. And we have been filling in here on The Phil Henry Show. I like this song. This is a great song. This is AC/DC. I'm going straight to hell.
That's called The Highway to Hell.
It's called The Highway Down to Hell. Yeah. This, I love this. This song came out about when I was very young. On my way into middle school, I think, right?
Yeah, what song is that?
And my husband sounds like the Hunchback of Notre Dame, because I kicked him in the face a few times when he pointed at his you-know-what and called it the leprechaun.
I'm on the highway to hell. I'm gonna hang up.
Steve's going to hell. Steve's going down to hell. Whee!
Yeah, you're a good guy.
No. Oh, Steve, shut up. No one knows what you're saying.
Speed limit.
My husband's gonna burn in hell.
Like a wheel.
I'm sorry, I'm having a lot of fun here. It's not often that you can get your husband to shut his mouth, is it? Men are always talking about how women talk too much. No, guys, you talk way more than we do. Getting you guys to shut up. I'm telling you, girls, it does take.
Mama,
You know what you do? Load up a sock with ball bearing. Oh, never mind. You got to shut your husband up with a sock full of ball bearings. What? Okay, hold on. I don't know. I got some comment. David G. Hall. Hello. How are you, David?
Yeah, Ms. Dooley, it's David Hall. How are you?
I'm doing good. How's everything sounding?
You've been sounding very good, but I'm concerned about this last segment. You recommending to women that they beat their husbands across the mouth with a sock full of ball bearings.
Well, I'm joking around.
I know you're joking around, but there are people who will take that seriously, and some woman out there is liable to load up a sock full of ball bearings some night. Like maybe even my wife. I'm not married yet. Not that she'd have reason to, but if I ever got a face full of ball bearings...
Sorry, what did you say? A face full of what?
You heard very well what I said. A face full of ball bearings. Ball bearings. I would feel that...
You'd feel what?
Forget it. You know, you talk about being a child.
Well, I lost connection there with David G. Hall. You sound really bad, honey. I think we have to take you to the doctor and see if he can't fix you up. You may need plastic surgery after what I did to you. Oh, God, doesn't he sound... You sound really... You just sound like like the ghoul. You sound like Chud, you know?
Who?
Chud. It's not a who, it's a what. Anyway, thank you, David G. Hall. No, of course I don't recommend that you do that. Men do talk an awful lot. They talk a blue streak. How do you get them to shut the hole under their nose? That's always going to be the challenge. First thing you have to do with a man is understand that even though we're smarter than them, and so often we are able to outwit them and say things that can really put them down, we don't do it because they're bigger and they're stronger than us. And when they get angry, which is what they're going to do, they get a little scary. Just know that we all know, as women, we all know that we're all much smarter and wittier, and we can generally cut a man in half with the things that we have to say. Now, what do you do when you've really got a good one-liner and you can really slice a man up with it, but you know he's a big fat baby and he's going to get angry and jump up and down. And maybe if you push him too far, he gets angry and he might even slap us or do something like that. Steve's done that, haven't you, honey? Yes, you did. Don't lie. One time I really got him good, and he got all mad and he tried to slap me, but I blocked the blow with my forearm, my left forearm, and then I came back down with a fireplace poker on top of his head. So it's a two-step move. Block with the left arm, the fat of the forearm. It always is a very good block. And then come down with the poker with the right arm, bang, down on the head. Well, what did you do then, honey? You sound like you're wrecked. Your face is all wrecked. You know what, honey? If you just said it takes one to know one, what? Shut up, Steve. So when a man gets so angry that you have inevitably sliced him in half with your wit and he's going to get physical with you, remember the blocking with the left arm, come down with the right arm, the fireplace poker, or the hatchet, or whatever you have in your hand. Now, the other thing is the ball bearings in the sock. Okay, let's talk about that. You need a lot of strength, but what you want to do is get that thing going counterclockwise. Zing, zing, zing. You're swinging it around like it's one of those Olympic hammers, and then boom, right down that way. Now, you need to do this defensively. Don't ever use this offensively, but you're always going to need it defensively because men can't take the fact that we're smarter, wittier, and we generally can slice them up real good with one or two words. And men will respond in a huff and get angry. Now, a lot of girls are very, very unkind and cruel to men, and some men are not violent. Some men are very, very introverted, and they take that abuse. And if you're one of those guys, then I would recommend you smack her across the face, especially if she burns the chicken or something along those lines. This has been really, really exciting. I'm Bobby Dooley. We've had a heck of a good time. I can't understand anything you're saying, Steve. You will note that we started the program, Steve could talk like a normal human being, made sounds like a man would make, and now he's grunting like a wounded animal in the bush.
The Bobby Dooley Show, filling in for Phil Hendry. Brought to you by PhilHendryShow.com. Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved.
I'm Bobby Dooley. See you next time.
Who the hell?